on the air. We are on the air. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is a beautiful day, a beautiful time. I know every show I start out, every show talking like this, because I just really feel good. I really feel good, and I'm glad I'm on the air. Like I said before in yesterday's show, I'm going to try and change up the time slots. I'm going to try and go at least 5 or 6 hours earlier, starting sometime in November of 2015, in case you're listening to this weeks or months later, you'll know. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, we have unions are disappearing. The middle class is no more on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we're going to be talking about a lot of other things. I have no guests. I actually didn't schedule anybody for today or tomorrow, I don't think. But in November, we're going to have people on the show. So don't fret. And they're going to talk about whatever they have to talk about. But for right now, I'm going solo, and I don't mind it at all. It's fine, because I just love talking. It's ironic when people used to say that I was quiet. George, quiet. He don't say much of nothing. Well, just turn on one of my radio shows, archive my radio shows, and you'll see how wrong you were. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Broadcasting live from Chicago, 347-857-1762, or just sit back and listen and take it all in, because I also listen to talk shows. I've listened to other talk show radio hosts long before I decided to have my own show. I've listened to those, and I'm going to be fair about this. There's a lot of times I didn't call in. They would say, call in. They would give out their numbers, blah, 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 blah. I wouldn't call it. I would just listen. I would just listen, because other people were calling in, and some of them was wanting to know the same information that even I wanted to know, so I didn't call. I just listened. And I understand when people don't call in. I understand you're sitting back listening, and I can tell that, because I have a ratings system machine on this computer, and I can tell who's listening, who's downloading, and things like that. So, sit back and listen and just archive the show later on, especially because this is, Saturday night? And this is one of the reasons why I'm going to change my time slot. If you don't think I should, just let me know. I'm changing it because basically I'm on the radio on the weekend, and a lot of people can't listen on the weekends because they have other things they're doing. I mean, when you're working all week, you don't want to come home and listen to a radio show. Not that this is not a good radio show, just that you want to be with family. You want to go out and do things. And, I understand all of that. And then you archive it later. That's fine. But I'm going to just try it out. I'm going to test it. I'm going to try to schedule the show for maybe 12 o'clock noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that, just to test it for a little while. And so I'm going to be not doing the show in prime time, because most of the time in prime time, you stuck in traffic, right? But hey, but you can still, cars are now computerized and installed with Windows 10 and all that kind of thing. So you can even listen to this show while driving. Yeah, while in your car, walking down the street on your iPhone or your tablet or your laptop, you can listen to this show. Of course, you can listen to other shows too, but you can also listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, which I think my show is a lot better than some of those other shows, even though some of those guys and girls have been on the air a lot longer than I have, and I think I'm pretty good at it, at soliciting listeners. And, people who care about certain things. Because if you go to my blog radio show website, you'll see a lot of things that I've done on different topics, a wide range of things. And some of those things are interesting. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show broadcasting. My son just walked through the door. He might be in trouble. I don't know, but because I told him to get here a lot sooner, a lot earlier, because, sometimes he has homework to do. But, all right, this is George Wilder Jr. George. Let's talk about some things that's in the news. Legendary actress Maureen O'Hara dies at the age of 95. Yeah, she's an actress. I have watched her on the screen, on television, you know, her old movies and stuff. I love old movies, black and white movies. And a lot of these people from that era are just dying off. But she was 95 years old. Anytime you live to be 95 years old, you've done something right in your life. And actually, I don't feel too sorry for people who die at 95 and die at 100 because they've been around long. They've been here so long. It's time for them to take a rest. Tiring and stressful. I mean, when you make it to 95 and 100, you are in for a rest, you know, and that's what she's getting from my standpoint, you know, a rest. 95 years old. That's great. You survive for that long. A lot of kids don't live to see 10, you know, and a lot of people don't live to see 50, 40. I mean, you die in this society, 21st century, I mean, just as quick as you can look up. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are. But to make it to 95 years old and then pass away in her sleep, that was peaceful. And that's the way I want to go, in my sleep, not a bullet through my head. You know, so, and I can imagine that's the way a lot of people would like to go. If they're going to die, let it be in their sleep, you know. And, too many young people are dying. Too many young people are dying. So let's get back to Maureen O'Hara. I've seen her in a lot of movies. I admired her. I was a fan. She was one of those pretty girl types, motherly types, and stuff like that. She wasn't really a villain or a criminal or anything like that. She was always the protagonist, trying to get the antagonist to see things a little bit more positively, probably. Anyway, she made 5 movies with John Wayne. She made a whole host of movies. She made 5 movies with John Wayne. So that tells you, you know, she's been acting since the 30s. But and another thing that I hear that she was John Wayne's favorite leading lady. John Wayne has had thousands of leading ladies, because John Wayne has made a total to 225 to 250 movies, but she was only in 5 of them, and she was John Wayne's favorite. I understand that John Wayne, whenever he was in a movie, he picked and chose the people he wanted to star with in a movie, you know, and she was always one of the people he picked and chose, because they said that the reason why Maureen O'Hara said that one of the movies, The Quiet Man, was her favorite movie with John Wayne, because she was able to stand right up to him, because John Wayne was always considered a macho type guy, fast on the draw, fast on the fist, fast on the lip. But, you know, I was a John Wayne fan. I really was. I was a fan of John Wayne, even though I knew he was a racist. He was a staunch racist. I looked him up one time on YouTube, and he was giving an interview, and he just said flat out, black people should know their place. And that was his commitment till the day he died. He was a racist, and he also was a Republican, but I thought he was a good actor. I have a few of his movies around the studio here. Yeah, let me see The Shootist, let me see El Dorado. I can't think of them, but they're here. Let me see if I can think of it. El Dorado, yeah, I think War Wagon, Liberty Valance. Yeah, I got a few of his, and a lot of times they're showing his old movies on television. And one of my favorite movies is probably The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance with Lee Marvin. That's one of my favorites, even though I got about 5 or 6 John Waynes around here, because I've always been a Western movie fan. Even when I was little, I loved Westerns. I mean, you talk about Gene Autry, you talk about Roy Rogers. Okay. Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, they were those movies or television shows were reruns. Okay. They were old when I was a kid, but I enjoy them. And I was a Western freak. I love Western movies, and I still love Western movies today. I just think there's some of the awesome movies out there. And I do like 310 to Yuma. I mean, I got that with Russell Crowe and Christian Bale. I think that's a classic. I also liked Tombstone with Kurt Russell. I have that. As you can, I don't know how I got on this tantrum about Westerns, but it's fun to talk about. I'm having a great time. I really enjoy those movies, and I still enjoy them. What makes me like Westerns so much? It has to be the open spaces, the horses, the bad guys, the good guys, the mountains. I love the mountains. I love being out west, period. I love the west. I mean, I just love Texas, Nevada, Seattle, California, Oklahoma. I just love the west. The only thing that kept me from moving out there were fires and earthquakes, okay? But other than that, Utah, Wyoming, I mean, these are really, really Western towns. And I just love Westerns, and I still do. And I still, Charles Bronson, I mean, I think Charles Bronson was probably one of the greatest Western stars. And don't even mention Clint Eastwood. He is totally one of my favorites, Western star, because, the man with no name, how can you not like that, And I even like him in some of his Rawhide, back in his Rawhide days on Channel 2 when he was, he's very young. But even Clint Eastwood, I think he's about 85 or 86, and he's still directing movies. So I am an adamant Western fan of Western movies. Now, I like other movies, don't get me wrong, but Western movies have always been at the forefront of what I like to watch. Even though they don't make many Western movies now in 2015, 2016, they don't make many of them, or they're not going to make, but hey, wow. They don't have to, because I think I have all the classics right here in my studio. Or I can always watch them on YouTube or Netflix or whatever. But I am an adamant Western guy. So let's get back to Maureen O'Hara. Okay, she died at 95, okay, and she was John Wayne's. From what I understand, from what they're reporting, his leading lady, because she stood up in front of him. She's probably the first tough lady there was. He's got a lot of tough women now in movies nowadays. And let's see what they're saying. All right. And she was in a movie called, back in the 40s, A Miracle on 35th Street, 34th Street. I saw the movie. I thought it was great, a movie about Santa Claus, some guy who thinks he's actually Santa Claus. The movie was a remake. I think they remade it, but the 1940 version was clearly the best of all. And they got here, Maureen O'Hara, spirited movie star, dies at 95. She only had one child, a daughter, and here's a picture of her. They're showing a photograph of her. If I can get this computer to act right. Sometimes the computer just go haywire, Have you ever needed a computer really badly to do your work on, and all of a sudden it just goes bluey on you? but the computer here has not gone bluey, but it seems like it might be. Okay, Los Angeles, Maureen O'Hara, the famed-haired Irish movie star who appeared in classics ranging from How Green Was My Valley to the uplifting Miracle on 34th Street and the bannered, unforgettable movie with John Wayne and John Wayne movies. She has died. She has passed away. She's gone. They're saying that O'Hara died in her sleep. Yeah, I just said that. At her home in Boise, Idaho, said her longtime manager. Oh, wow. She was 95. That means the last time she gave an interview, she was in a wheelchair. You know, I mean, hey, I'm just saying, you know, 95 is a long time to be living. And she's seen a lot. She knew a lot. And my thing is that she's resting. She's at peace. She's at peace. But I think I may have a movie or two around here that she's in that I have to check, because a lot of times I don't realize I have a movie by someone until I start looking at my stash, you know. So, because I have a lot of stash, I'm a movie buff. I am one movie buff, and even though the show is political and on some serious topics, once every while I'll take go in a different direction instead of all the drama that I espouse on the show. She was an actress who brought unyielding strength and subtly sensitivity to every role she played. Her characters were feisty and fearless, just as she was in real life. I've heard that before. She was also proudly Irish and spent her entire lifetime sharing her heritage and the wonderful culture of the Emerald Isles with the world, said a family biographer. Okay, O'Hara came to Hollywood. She came to Hollywood to star in the 1939 movie Hunchback of Notre Dame and went on to a long career. So she started her movie career in 1939. Man, she was young, feisty, and just full of talent. She was full of talent. During her movie heyday, she became known as the Queen of Technicolor because of the camera's love affair with her vivid hair, pale complexion, and fiery nature. After her start in Hollywood with The Humpback of Notre Dame, some minor films at RKO, she was borrowed by 20th Century Fox to play the beautiful young daughter in the 1941 saga of a coal mining family in a movie called How Green Is My Valley or something. But anyway, she's sleeping, she's resting, she's with God, she's with Jesus, and you know, she'll be resurrected, she'll be placed back on earth, like we all will be someday. So I don't think that nobody actually dies. We just become reincarnated. If you disagree with me, you can always 347-857-1762. All right, we were talking about a little bit of entertainment. And, John Wayne, he was an adamant Republican. He was totally racist. I mean, if you don't believe me, go to YouTube and dig up some of his old interviews, some of his more current ones just before he died, some of those, and you will find out. The guy was, but he made some great movies. My thing is, you know, I liked his movies. I may not have cared much for his personal opinion or his personal life or whatever the hell is about him, but his movies, some of his movies were good. I enjoyed them. And, you know, and I just liked his movies. I may not have cared too much for the man himself, but his movies were just, some of them, especially the Westerns, like I just said, I love Westerns and I always will, were great. Just like James Brown. For instance, you know, I remember when I was a teenager, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, I was an avid James Brown fan. There wasn't a song this guy couldn't record that I didn't go out and rush somehow to get some pennies and try to buy one of his songs. I would spend my lunch money or any kind of money that I've had earned, no matter how little, to buy one of his songs. I was an avid James Brown fan. I was just a fan. That's all I was. And he had a million of them by that time, you know, but I was a fan. And, but I stayed a loyal fan to James Brown for a long time because everything he would, I tried to get my hands on everything this guy put out, everything he recorded. I tried. And I almost did. But like I said, I was just a fan. But I was not a fan, in similarity to John Wayne, I was not a fan of his personal behavior. Wife beating, drugs, smoking, drinking, the way he treated his band, his, you know, his family members, people around him. I didn't like any of that. But if he put out a song and I liked it, it was groovy, it made you dance, hey, I just had to have it. I mean, I was such a James Brown fan that people thought I was nuts. A journey crazy, yeah. You know, but, you know, I was just a music fan. It was just music, period. I even had my own band, I think, a few years later after that. But I was just a fan, but I was not a fan of his tirade. You know, I mean, I used to hear a lot about that, and I used to see it happening when they had clips of it on television, you know, him firing a gun off in one of his businesses. And, you know, I think the James Brown movie didn't do much for me because I knew a lot of that stuff that was in the movie had happened. I knew a lot of that stuff because it was always, it was in the news. You know, so it wasn't much of that happening. I think Chad Boswick, the guy who played James Brown in the movie, I don't think he did that good of a job at playing James Brown, but that's just my opinion. I think, I mean, when I compare James Brown himself to the guy who was playing him in the movie, James Brown clearly himself came out on top. I'm not taking anything away from the movie. I think the movie was okay, but I mean, you can't. James Brown was in music for maybe 50 or 60 years. You can't tell his entire life story within 2 hours or less. It can't be done. It can't be done, you know. And so I don't think the movie really delved deeply into his life. I think the movie just, they recorded just bits and pieces of his life, not the greater all of his life. That's my feeling. That's my thing. But basically all I'm saying here is that I was a James Brown fan. Like, I don't know what. I mean, I was a really crazy James Brown fan, but I wasn't the only one. There was a million other people who were just crazy James Brown fans, just like I was. And I thought when I first, Tamla's show, where James Brown took it, that was his show. I was hooked then. I was hooked. I just had to have it all. I was hooked. I mean, I was, most of us, we were dancing like him, trying to sing like him, trying to look like him. You know, and James Brown himself, he knew all of this. He knew it, and he revved at it, but he was just, I think Bobby Bird, one of the famous flings, said that James Brown had to be in charge. He had to be in charge. They say that James Brown did not pay them. If he paid them at all, he didn't pay them enough. He treated them badly, and he did. He really did. That's why one year, I think it was 1968, 69, his band quit, and he didn't have a band, you know, because one of the reasons why they quit is because he treated them so badly, fining them for this, he would be on stage giving a concert, and if one of the band members, particularly the drummer, missed a beat, wow, James was furious, even on stage, and he would fine them, $20 for this, $20 for that, you know. And then he would, you know, they didn't have a life. He wouldn't give them a life. And James Brown could not read music. He could not read music. James Brown couldn't read, period. James Brown did not have an education. But, however, that was his sound. It was his sound. He played good music. It was him. I used to get pissed off when James Brown would put out so many records so quick, so fast. When I went out and bought one record, he was out with another one, you know, two or three. And I would say, well, man, you know. So, but I was a fan. I wasn't a fan, like I said, of his behavior. I hated his behavior. I disowned his behavior, you know, just like John Wayne. I mean, he's a staunch racist. But I would watch one of his movies if I thought they were one of my favorites. I would watch it regardless. But him as a man, him as a person, James Brown as a person, I probably wouldn't even be seen walking down the street with them if they were alive because of their behavior. But you can probably catch me, you know, in a movie theater or something watching a movie that they're in, you know, because James Brown was in a lot of movies too. And basically, that's it. That's it. So Maureen O'Hara died at the age of 95, and rest her soul, rest her soul, rest her soul. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting in Chicago, talking a little bit of entertainment, trying to get away from the hard stuff for a while. And I have no guests, so we just gonna have to wait until November. They are booked. But however, all of my guests are booked for this coming up November. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that. We have a lot more to get underway. We're going to take a break right here. Be right back. Stay with me, everybody.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that gracious introduction. I am sitting here in the studio feeling great, feeling good, feeling wonderful. I hope you're feeling wonderful too. And this is Saturday night. I hope you're having a great time, whatever you're doing. If you're sitting by the radio, the computer, the internet, and you're listening to me, thank you so much. Thank you. And I want to say that the state of Illinois, we're still in a, we still don't have a budget. We still don't have a budget. And these guys aren't budging. Community groups are trying to get these guys. When I say these guys, I'm talking about Governor Bruce Rauner, Michael Madigan, John Culloden, and some of these other idiots who are in the Illinois legislature, getting them together, sitting them down, and saying, what the hell is wrong with you people? Why are you constantly trying to destroy this state? What are you doing? What are you doing? I blame them all. At first, I blame Bruce Rauner, and I do because he is the governor. I blame him more than I blame anybody because the legislature has given this guy a lot of budgets, a lot of spending bills, and he refused to sign them or he vetoes them. But the reason why I blame the legislature because they can't seem to override this guy. I mean, the Democrats, I've said this many times, the Democrats are in the majority on both sides. Why can't they override this guy and get a budget? So you have to put the blame on them too. Not just Rauner. He takes the blunt of it, but still in all, the Democrats are in charge. Why can't they do this without Rauner? That's begoggling some of us. That is begoggling some of us. What's wrong? So my thing is, I blame them all, but Rauner I blame the most. Because the reason why Rauner is not signing a spending bill or getting a budget for Illinois, and everybody who's anybody is telling him to stop the BS and get a budget, but he doesn't care, because basically he wants to bust unions. Let me bust unions and I'll make sure your grandmother gets her food stamps. You know, something like that. And now a lot of these groups, if I can call them groups, are trying to get these guys together so they can talk, because they don't seem to be talking. They haven't met since May of this year. What is wrong with these people? They don't like each other, and they're holding the state hostage because they can't stand each other. I can understand why they don't like each other. Because we, the people of Illinois, we don't like them because they're destroying the state because of their feelings. I'm thinking it's their feelings. You know, Rauner has never run anything in his life. He doesn't know the first thing about governing. He thinks it's cut, 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 and bust unions. You don't govern that way. And the Democrats, with their cave-in asses, they're not doing anything either, and they control the legislature. They are in control. Why can't they override? They think, well, we don't have the votes. Well, then, if you don't have the votes, then it's still the same. You guys can't get y'all's acts together. The Republicans, they stick together. I mean, they stick together like glue as one, even though with their warped ideas, they stick together. The Democrats, they can't do that. Oh, man, they get a little power. They get a little television exposure. Wow, you know, they can't stick together. This is how we lost the House in 2010. Democrats could not stick together, and they can't stick together now. But the Republicans, I mean, they stick together like glue against the Democrats, against the people. But the Democrats cannot stick together with the Democrats for nothing in the world. And I say this again. Those Democrats who break away from the Democratic ideas and issues and solutions, your ass will be given an opponent in the upcoming election, and we're going to vote you out. We're going to vote you out. So if you don't want to stick together, then don't stick together, because you guys are up for election every 2 years. Not every four, not every six, every 2 years you guys are up for election. You're going to be wanting to keep your job. So I would advise you Democrats to start acting like Democrats and stop going over to the Republican side when it comes to this state, turncoating on this state. This is a mess. George Water Jr. of the George Water Jr. There's been so many protests against Bruce Rauner, and he just ignores them. There has been so many social programs have been upended. People have been thrown out of jobs. People have become homeless because of these programs. People have been starving because of this, and he just walks away and just blames the Democrats. Yeah, we blame the Democrats, but we blame you more. Because if it wasn't for you, this state would not be 4 or 5 months behind without a damn budget. Without a budget. We are the worst state. Illinois is the worst state in the United States, in America. And that's the damn truth. We are the worst damn state. We don't have a budget. Shut up, Denver. We don't have a budget, and the state credit agencies have downgraded the city and the state several times because of no spending plan, no budget, no pension, no nothing. And these guys who are leaders in the state legislature and the governor, they just walk away from each other and just say the hell with it. These guys, every one of them, the governor, Bruce Rauner, John Culleton, they have their asses kicked out in the streets for letting this state be destroyed by Bruce Rauner, who is constantly blaming someone else. And now he's going around talking like he cares about what's going on in the state. He cares. He wants to do this. He wants to do that. He doesn't want to do anything. He's just talking. He's just saying the things that you and I want to hear. Because if he did want this state to do better, if he did want this state to pull itself out of the hole that he's made for it, he would get a budget for this state in no time. Just a bunch of malarkey, a bunch of talk, a bunch of trying to raise his poll numbers and lower the poll numbers of the Democrats in the state legislature. That's all that is. That is all that is. But you know what? I don't think Bruce Rauner is fooling anybody. He's not fooling anybody. If he think he is, he's an idiot. Bruce Rauner is not fooling anyone. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'll be right back. Stay with me, everybody.
Say this. Hello. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs, and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. Illinois is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like there's people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say so in what happens with it.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. And everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on LaSalle Street that make billions of billions of dollars. And I'm like the governor, quite frankly. I don't want to raise taxes, but I want everybody to pay their fair share. And they are making some transactions that they're not paying taxes on. So the only thing I'm saying to the governor, make sure that everybody's in, including my baby, and nobody's left out, including your friends. So with that being said, Mr. Governor, let us go back to Springfield. You want a budget? Let's talk about a budget. Let us gather the money from the guys on LaSalle Street and let's have a financial transaction tax. And then when we get finished doing that, Mr. Governor, let's develop our own bank like North Dakota. And if that's not enough, Mr. Governor, let's get rid of the insurance industry and have a single payer health care so everybody can truly be in and nobody be left out.
Don't mess with my children. You know something? We don't have to put up with a bully. A bully cannot win when people stand together. A bully, cannot win when you're standing with your brothers and your sisters. A bully can't win when you build coalitions in the neighborhood. A bully only wins when you let him. Right now, we have a coalition of individuals because we understand what Governor Rauner does not understand, and that is everything is connected. We are connected to one another. Child care is connected to a good education. Education is connected to health care because you're not going to learn if you're sick. You're not going to learn if you're hungry. That's connected to a good job. That's connected to this state. This is not about one person who doesn't want to turn us around. He wants to turn us backwards. We are not going backwards. This is not we're going to be standing up here in the street, dancing, working for free. This is our state. This is not Ronnerville. This is not Brooks City. No, this is the city and the state of the people of Illinois that deserves the best that it has to offer. We are not going to be held hostage. We are not going to be held against our will. Our children are not going to be the cannon fodder to fight your fight. This is something that needs to be addressed. We want the governor as your voice and as your ears down in Springfield. We want the governor to come to the table not talking about things that doesn't need. We don't need to be talking about remapping.
Right.
A budget has nothing to do with remapping.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a term limit. It's called come out and vote.
Right.
Get the vote. That we need to be talking about. How do we fund those essential things that make us competitive, not only in the United States, but in the global economy. This is not about being a vulture capitalist. Who do you know, where do you know that a CEO tears down his own business just so he can make more money? Vulture capitalists. That's what they do. This is not a vulture capitalist situation. This is a budget about people, the budget about numbers, or rather, in his mind, a budget about numbers. There's a face on every dollar that's in the budget. And we want those dollars spent on the things that we need to be the citizens that we can be. And that is making sure that we have not only daycare, but many of you also know we need people working night care. Because this is a 24-hour city, it's a 24-hour fight, and we're going to stay in it for 24 hours as long as it takes. So let's stay together, let's stay connected, and we beat the bullies.
All right. That was...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, Kay, and things are really starting to hop here at the corner of 25th and State Street. There's a parade which is about to get started here, and it is protesting the cuts. The people here say that those cuts are dangerous and severe, and in this time of need, they're not only mobilizing, but the community is coming forward to help others. Last week, I told you about how the Clyde Jordan Senior Center joined others in our region by delivering its last meals on Friday. Because there is no state budget, federal money that is there for them cannot be accessed. Since our story aired, individuals, churches, and community groups have contacted the center to donate the food and the services. One man brought in about $1,000 worth of goods. Because of those donations, Tuesday, the center was able to resume its lunch at the facility as well as its delivered meals. It is a blessing for those like Ever Lois Cully who rely on them, but if the budget fight drags on between the governor and the legislature, Cully is aware the donations may not be able to keep up with the need.
It means that it probably wouldn't be as much food on the table as it would be if the meals was coming in.
So unions are disappearing. They are disappearing fast, quickly, and just about, you know, in every state around America. There are some states still holding on to the unions, but majority of these Republicans who are in governorships around the United States, they're busting unions or they have already eradicated collective bargaining. So unions are disappearing because we have these Republicans who are running and controlling everything. Unions are disappearing because union voters did not vote in the last election. I say this all the time. People, when you do not vote, you do not exercise the right. If you think of history, I talked about history yesterday on the show. People who have fought and died to give you the right to vote, if you don't vote, the Republicans take over, period. And when they take over, they're going to wreak havoc on you, your job, your family, your life. This is why unions and the middle class are disappearing. The middle class, they're becoming the struggling poor, or have became the struggling poor. For the same reasons, unions are disappearing because you guys did not get out there and do your duty, which was voting in 2014, 2013, 2012, 2011. I can go all the way back where people did not vote the way they should have. Every time the election day comes up and I hear the commentators say, well, looks like it's going to be a low voter turnout today. It's going to be historically low. That means if it's historically low, a low voter turnout, you can bet the Republicans are going to get in office. Because you, they, or someone you know did not vote, refused to vote for whatever reason, there is no good reason for not voting. There is no good reason. If you don't vote, you don't vote, but don't give a damn reason for not voting, because it's not a good reason. It's not going to hold water. This is why unions are disappearing. You don't vote. The middle class is becoming the struggling poor, or just simply the poor, because people did not vote. You got these Republicans running everything in Washington. You got Republicans running everything in the majority of, probably mostly, majority of the states in the United States. This is why this is happening. And I wish the Democrats would stop being crybabies, bleeding heart liberals, non-fighters, and just stop rolling over and let the Republicans kick them up the butt and fight. For years, I've said Obama is not a fighter, and Obama is not a fighter. He doesn't fight. He likes to compromise, and the Republicans say to hell with compromising. But the more the Republicans doesn't compromise, the more Obama wants to compromise, and it's obstruction, and nobody gets anywhere. Nobody gets anywhere. Yeah, this is a very, very interesting topic I'm talking about here. I have it on my screen, and I hope you saw it. Unions are disappearing, and they're going to continue to disappear as long as the Republicans are in control, because most of them are mean, white, nasty white men. Did you see the hearing on that they gave, the Benghazi hearing for Hillary Clinton, how nasty these guys were to Hillary, how nasty they were? They just was throwing her with all these hardball questions, and she threw them back in their face. This is what we're up against. They are dead fast on defunding Parent Planhood. Videos or no videos, doctored videos or no doctored videos, lies or no lies. They are steadfast and hell bent on getting rid of Planned Parenthood. They are hell bent. I think they just had 61 votes. I think they just had their 61 vote on defunding health care. That's a waste of taxpayer money. It's not going anywhere. Obama is not going to sign away his signature, which is health care. They are nuts. The Republicans are crazy, but they keep doing it. Why do they keep doing it? Because they're stupid. They're crazy. Maybe they keep doing it just to try to show the American people that they're trying to do it. The reason why the Republicans want to get rid of Obamacare or health care is because they just want to do it. You know, they just want to do it. Health care, I mean, health care is not taking 1 cent away from these Republicans. They just don't like people. They don't like America. They don't like how it's working. They want to take it away so people can die. They don't want you or I to see a damn doctor. What kind of crap is that? And you won't vote. Or are you going to vote against your interest? Go out here and vote against a Republican, and that Republican, you go out here and you vote for a Republican you voted for, is going to take away your Social Security. It's going to take away your Medicare and your Medicaid, the guy you voted for. And now you feel like an ass because you voted for this guy who is working against you. All right, Springfield, a meeting between Governor Bruce Rauner and the legislative leaders to discuss the fourth month in a row, there is no budget impasse could occur. This, what they're saying is just like I just got through saying, that Michael Madigan, this slob, Bruce Rauner, and this other slob, John Cullinan, they're going to come together next month. November. They should be coming together right now this damn minute. This state has to be pulled up out of the gutter at this minute, not next month, not on the 20th. It needs to be done now. See, these people drag their asses because they feel, well, I'm the politician. I got money. I'm rich. I could, you know, but the people want something done now, right this minute, because we, this is the fourth month going on into the fifth month that we've had no budget. This should be worked on immediately, immediately. And 5 or 6 weeks from now, these guys are going to be having their talking points. They're going to have all kind of notes and essays. They're going to be reading and say what they're going to say. This should be happening now. And they should be speaking from their gut, from their heart, from their soul, instead of some speech somebody prepared for them. And this is what they're going to have. This gives Rauner, 4 or 5 months give Rauner enough time to learn something about government. Because if he knew something about government, I'm pretty sure this state would not be in the shape it's in. If he wasn't such a mean-ass, vindictive-type person, this state would not be in the gutter. And these guys talking about November 20th for their meeting, they should be meeting right now, period. We're paying them. This is our state. This state doesn't belong to them. They are administrators, but they're not administrating. Excuse me. They are administrating, but they're not they are administrators, but they're not administrating. In turn, they're not doing their jobs. They're not doing their jobs. They're not paying their bills. Credit agencies continue to downrate Illinois, the city of Chicago, because of these clowns. These clowns. Madigan is out of there. Culleton is out of there. Come the when it's time for re-election, they're gone. People are pissed off at these people. I'm pissed off at them. Rauner, if he sticks around until he has to be re-elected again, he will not get the job again. They're done. And all of these turncoat-ass Democrats who are in the legislature, they're through. We're going to make sure we find people to run against them, to throw their asses out, because they obstructed the budget. And like I just kept saying, I don't know why Democrats don't stick together. Republicans stick together. You can say all the negative things you want about Republicans, and which we do. We do. But they stick together with their crap. Democrats cannot stick together. They just can't do it. And then they get their asses on TV and try to defend why they didn't stick together. There is no defending. You didn't do it, your ass is voted out. Simple as that. You're gone. So now they're supposed to have this several government reform groups. Okay, these are the groups that I talked about that are going to try to assemble these three guys together, the three head leaders of Illinois, and talk to them and wonder why in the hell they can't get this state out of the dump that they put it in. They can't get this state out of the mud that they put it in. Okay. Let me see if I can get this. Okay. Including Democrats Michael Madigan, the House Speaker John Culleton, President of the Senate, attempting to bring, and Bruce Rauner, attempting to bring the two sides together, or three sides. The Union League Club of Chicago offered space on November 18th. I just said that we don't need for them to meet on November 18th. We need for these guys to meet right now, because every day this state hasn't gotten a budget is detrimental. Every single minute that goes by with no budget in the state of Illinois is detrimental. This state is in the dumps. Even if a budget is passed tomorrow, it's going to take some time to get the state up out of the dump that these guys put it in. And I'm pretty sure that there's going to be somebody running against John Culleton. There's going to be somebody running against Michael Madigan to get them out of office. And they've got plenty to hold these guys on. They've got plenty to talk about in their campaign that's going to be against these guys, and they are going to lose. I can just see it now in a few years from now. These guys are going to be arguing and bitching and blaming each other like they do now so they can keep their jobs. But it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. People are going to remember this. People are going to document this. People are going to record this. People are going to remit it. They are toast. They are done, all three of them, and everybody else in the legislature who have caused this on the Democratic side. Republicans, they're steadfast. They don't give a damn. The Republicans are wrong, and a lot of them know they're wrong. They know it. But they still buy Bruce Rauner. Because why? Why are they sticking with Bruce Rauner? Two reasons. He's a Republican, and he has lots of money. Money that they can use to try to run for re-election. That's why they're sticking with Bruce Rauner. No other reason. If he was broke, they'd be running from him. But he has money, and money talks. It shouldn't, not in politics, but it does. I talked about the Supreme Court yesterday and how they did this. It's not fair, but it's here, so we have to deal with it. And that's one of the things we have to do. We have to tell ourselves, do not let money influence your vote. If you don't let money influence your vote, we can get these guys' asses out. We can vote them out. Do not let money influence your vote, because Bruce Rauner has a bunch of it. And a lot of these guys, like I just said, who are running for re-election on the Republican side of the aisle, they want some of that money so they can, you know, get re-elected. But I'm telling the voters, don't let money influence you. Don't let money vote that Republican out of there, because most of the Republicans, they're scared shitless because of Rauner. They're afraid that Rauner's going to up in their jobs if they don't support him, if they don't lick his boots, if they don't support him, if they don't lick his boots. Rauner is a bully. Just like Spike Lee said the other day that Mary Rahm Emanuel is a bully. Now, I've heard that before, that Rahm Emanuel is a bully. By the teachers union, Karen Lewis, she said the same thing. She said he's a bully. And you know what? I believe it. I mean, when you got two or three people saying somebody's a bully, they must be a bully, especially when they're meeting with these guys. Even though I still say that I think the name Chirac is not good for Chicago. You know, but that's another topic I'm going to talk about at another time. But right now we're talking about unions that are disappearing, middle class that are disappearing. Why? Because people, you do not vote. I'm going to be talking, as long as I'm on the show, whether I'm on in prime time or in the afternoon, I'm going to be talking about voting because it's coming up. 2016 is what, 2 months away, 2.5 months away or less from now? We got to get people excited. We got to get people wanting to do this. And like I've said in many shows, if you do not vote, if you come up with some reason for not voting, which is there is no reason for not voting, but some people come up with reasons. Well, the Democrats are liars, and all politicians are liars. All politicians are corrupt. All politicians are dishonest. Well, not all, but most of them. I agree, most of them, but you can't let that cloud your judgment when voting. Do your duty. Like I said yesterday, it feels good when you walk into that voting booth and you cast a vote and you walk out of there. That feels great. You feel like you've done something. Feel like you've done something. Yeah, I admit politicians some of them are total assholes. Some of them you can't trust. Some of them, they don't really actually represent you. They represent big money. A lot of the Republicans in the state legislature, they representing big money. Rauner is big money, and he's scaring the hell out of them. I got money. Hey, you want to stay on my side? You want to get back in office? You stick with me. That's what he's saying to them, because he's saying, I got money. I can get you back in. And they are adhering to this. Instead of doing what their constituency and the voters want them to do, they're doing what big money is telling them to do. And Rauner has said many times he loves being a Republican. He loves it. He said that in 8 years, he's going to turn this state into a Republican state. You know what? That can happen. I said before that can't happen. But you know what? It can happen. And here's why it can happen. If you don't vote, that's the reason why it can happen. It can be turned into a Republican state. And then they're going to run everybody who's not rich like them. They're going to run them all out, run us all out. If you do not vote, do not think that your vote doesn't count. It counts. Even a vote that you don't cast counts, because that is a vote for the other side. And they are going to wreak havoc on your ass. Get out. I'm not trying to scare anybody into voting. I'm not trying to pressure you into voting. I'm not trying to bully anyone into voting. I'm just stating the facts. I'm trying to help save the state of Illinois, even America. But I'm just one lone voice out there. But there are many others. Many, many others can put it a lot better than I can about the risk to not voting, risk to sitting at home, risk to saying, well, I don't trust them. I don't like them. They're not nothing. They're sinners or whatever. I understand. We understand. But you have to vote. You have to vote. Let's say if 2016 came around, November 2016, and these guys are all on television and their commercials, campaign commercials, they're going around kissing babies and campaigning and stuff. You still don't know if that person is actually going to represent you once they're voted into office. It's chances we're all taking. But who knows? It might be a good chance. We might take the right chance. We might be lucky this time and get someone in office that's actually going to represent the people of the United States and of Illinois. I was just thinking, where is Mark Kirk? I haven't seen or heard Mark, the U.S. Senators of Illinois. We have two senators. Each state has two senators. We have two senators. Illinois has two. There's Mark Kirk and there's Dick Durbin. Now, I've heard from Dick Durbin. Dick Durbin is a bleeding heart liberal, and he's another guy who caves in, you know. But Dick Durbin is a Democrat. Mark Kirk is a Republican. Mark Kirk is also a U.S. senator. And I'm wondering, I haven't heard anything from him. Usually he's very vocal. He's out there among the people talking, whatever. We may not agree with what he's saying, but he's always out there saying, where is he now? I'd like to know his thoughts on this state being shut down for 4 months going into the fifth month. He is one of the senators from this state. What I know what Dick Durbin is thinking. Dick Durbin thinks it's appalling and bad and that it's getting worse. Obviously, he's not trying to come up with any solutions to get us out of this mess. That's what I don't like about Dick Durbin. He's not coming like he's helpless to try to take his state up out of this garbage can that Bruce Rauner has put it in. But still and all, I haven't heard anything from Mark Kirk. Is he hiding or what? Obviously, he doesn't agree with this state not having a budget. And he's probably too afraid to say so. Or the big money is going to disappear. See, Kirk is bought and paid for. And That's my thinking. He's bought and paid for. That's why we haven't heard from him. You know, I guess he said, I don't like the situation. If I say something, they're going to get in my ass about it, so I'm not going to say anything. It's so funny and pathetic how some of these guys just do not interest of the people of the state. They act in the interest of big money. Instead of Mark Kirk being afraid of the people who voted his ass in the office, the guy is afraid of big money. Big money is threatening him. Big money is saying, hey, wow, if you want to win the next election, don't you say anything about the state being shut down. Because I haven't heard it. We haven't heard anything from Mark Kirk. And that's the only thing that you can assume, that big money has put a muzzle on his mouth. And I think big money has put a muzzle on the mouth of Dick Durbin, because he's not saying anything. It's money that is permeating throughout this political arena that's quieting these people.
Yeah, Kay, and things are really starting to hop here at the corner of 25th and State Street. There's a parade which is about to get started here, and it is protesting the cuts. The people here say that those cuts are dangerous and severe, and in this time of need, they're not only mobilizing, but the community is coming forward to help others. Last week, I told you about how the Clyde Jordan Senior Center joined others in our region by delivering its last meals on Friday. Because there is no state budget, federal money that is there for them cannot be accessed. Since our story aired, individuals, churches, and community groups have contacted the center to donate the food and the services. One man brought in about $1,000 worth of goods. Because of those donations, Tuesday, the center was able to resume its lunch at the facility as well as its delivered meals.
All right. Okay. Last Friday, Ronald wrote to the leaders and acknowledged he's free. Obviously, he's going to show up. Okay, he's free. I'm pretty sure he's free. He's not doing a damn thing. He's not doing his job. Of course he's free. But wants to host the meeting in his office and make provisions like live streaming for it to be open. Okay, so Rauner said he's going to make that meeting, okay? But he wants to control it. And it seems like they're going to let him control the meeting. And I, you know what? I don't think anything is going to become of it. I think it's going to be a circus. That's what I think it's going to be. It's going to be a media circus. It's going to be a circus for Rauner. Rauner, a Republican, and the Democrats have been at odds over a budget which should have taken effect July 1st, of course. The first year governor, he hasn't been in there a year, but he wants changes to the business and political climate, such as tighter workers' compensation rules, and the term limits for office holders. What he calls his turnaround agenda. Democrats want more revenue mixed with cuts. Democrats want cuts, as if they haven't cut already, right? Turnaround agenda. All right. Okay. To provide vital services. And say Rauner shouldn't hold up the spending plan over non-budget issues. I agree. I totally agree. And most people agree. Even Republicans and Democrats agree that Rauner should not hold up the spending be over non-budget. That should be separate. But the guy's stubborn. He's of hard knocks. He's hard. He's stubborn. He's vindictive. He's mean. He's nasty. You know, so, you know, that's what he is. Okay, over four months, we're talking about over 4 months that there's been no budget for the state of Illinois. Over 4 months, because it's clear that there are not enough votes to pass a tax increase in the General Assembly without enacting much-needed structural reforms. I don't buy that. I don't buy any of that. What I buy is we have these leaders, the governor, We have a legislature, Democrat. They can't get together on crap to try and pull this state up out of the gutter that they themselves put it in. To me, it sounds like they're making excuses. They're making excuses. They have enough people, the Democrats in legislature, they have enough people to override anything Rauner vetoes. Why don't they do it? Well, they claim they don't have enough votes to do it. Well, who are the people who are not voting for this and going to the other side? Who are they? Name them so we can put somebody to run against them in the upcoming elections. Why can't Michael Madigan keep his Democratic House together? The Republicans, they're together. Why can't he do that so he can get something done? Because Rauner has gotten to some of the Democrats. He's paying them to not to vote with other Democrats. Rauner's, it's money, totally money. But still in all, this is a failure on Michael Madigan's part because he can't seem to keep his house together. I think Cullerton has the senators. I think all of them are one. But Madigan cannot keep them together. I mean, there's a few of them just talk. They're talking about him. He's the leader, you know, and he can't keep his flock together because they're wavering all over the place. And this is why they cannot override the spending bills that Rauner vetoes. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We're talking about the budget. It seems like that's all I ever talk about is the budget. Yeah, because it's serious. People are losing jobs. Just think about it. If you think about it, there are 60,000 state workers in the state of Illinois who will be losing their paychecks if this thing go on. There's thousands of people who are on rental assistance. Government, they're going to be losing their rental assistance. People are going to be losing their food stamps. And just because you're not getting or depending on a social program, you will be affected. Everybody's going to be affected. They're talking about the 911 center where you call in for the police and fire department. That's going to be shut down because they don't have much money to keep that going without a budget. They're talking about schools laying off teachers, 7,000, 8,000 teachers, because there's not enough money in the budget to pay the teachers. So everybody's going to be affected by this if it goes on. It has already devastated a lot of communities. But more and more and more people will be affected by this, whether you're working or whether you're living in a shelter. Even if you're living on the street, you're going to be affected by it. So everybody's affected. Even if you're a millionaire living in the city, you're going to be affected by it. Some affected by it because now they're charging you to pick up your garbage. I mean, that used to be a free city service because basically – garbage pickup is being paid with taxpayer money. So why do we have to pay? I don't know. But that's something Bully Rahm Emanuel has to explain. You know, so it's a mess. It's a mess here in Illinois. That's why I keep on espousing on it. And I'm pretty sure you guys probably tired of hearing me talk about it. I'm tired of talking about it myself. But I will be talking about it, you know, until they pull us out of the gutter, off the cliff, the brink of going over a cliff. Because I'm not the only one saying that. Prominent people are saying the same thing. We're going over a cliff. And I'm pleading with people to vote to keep us from going over the cliff. When you do not vote, that's a vote for the bad guy. Don't think, well, I'm not going to vote. My vote is not going to count. Your vote is going to count whether you vote or not. It's counting. So why not vote? And if you're not registered to vote, get registered. All you have to do is be 18. And that's it. So if you're listening to this show, whether you're listening live or you want to archive it or whatever, share this show with other people. Share the show with other people who have not listened to the show. Maybe this show right here can motivate people to do something to get their government back. Share this show, all right? This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I'd like to say something. I'm all over LinkedIn. I'm on Google. I'm on Facebook. Check me out. Drop me an email or inbox me or something. And you can also go, I'm also a writer. I write fiction. I don't dare write nonfiction. Nonfiction is too much drama for me. You know? So I try to, I write fiction mostly, but I do have some nonfiction material up there. But basically it's fiction. I'm a storyteller. I like to tell stories. And you guys can check all my work out, most of it ebooks. So it's easy. You don't have to go out to a bookstore or anything. You just download it off the internet right onto your device. A lot of stuff. I got a lot of short stories up there. Some of them are great, greatly written, great stories. And what you hear is what you get, right? So check me out on Amazon.com, George Wilder Jr. Just put my name up in that little text bar up there. Just click and most of my material will materialize right in front of your face. So check some of that stuff out. I am a writer. I'm a pretty decent writer. I have stuff coming out in January 2016. So you guys look for that. George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Block Talk Radio. I'm on Amazon. Amazon. I got quite a bit of projects, works, books, essays, short stories. Check that stuff out. You'll love it. You'll love it. We're going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, stay with me, everybody. We got it? Okay.
Food and clothing, give me a shout.
They're supposed to be meeting next month on the 18th. They're supposed to be meeting next month on the 18th, and I got a feeling this meeting ain't going to be about nothing. There's supposed to be five of them meeting, Madigan, Rauner, Cullerton, a few more people, and I don't know. Like I said, we don't need it to be on the 18th or the 20th. We need them to get a budget now, not the 18th. But, you know, these guys are going. But I guess a meeting set with these guys is better than no meeting at all, because the last time they met was way back in May. It was way back in May. And I guess that's better than nothing at all. I don't know. But it's not that it's not that much to be admired, okay? All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, just about off the air here. Someone whispered in my ear, we got about, 70 seconds or something left. Okay, join me tomorrow. I will, okay, 60 seconds. Join me tomorrow. I'll be back here, probably talking about some of the same things. And it's just sad. It's just sad that these guys just let this stuff go on for so long because they don't like each other. And for some reason, they just can't get along. And Democrats just can't stay together. And we got all that equals up to no budget for Illinois. And that has to change. We have to vote these idiots out. We have to get rid of them. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Join me tomorrow. All right, bye-bye, everybody. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for archiving. Thank you for downloading. See ya. Bye-bye. Up over there.